Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil. Here's former Denver Bronco Nick Ferguson and 104.3TheFan.com Cecil Lanning.
We're going to that Fireball VIP line to talk to Chad Brown. 104.3 The Fan's Chad Brown joins us, presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Chad, good evening, brother. How's it going?
Good evening, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Where was the Broncos pass rush at against the Raiders?
Well, you know, the Raiders ran for 200 yards, Cecil, and sometimes it's difficult to, you know, rush the quarterback when a team is running the ball well. They're getting into third and short situations. You can't really pin your ears back in those situations. And even the week before against Atlanta, you know, they certainly passed the ball a lot, but Matt Ryan was dropping back and throwing that ball off his, you know, his back foot on the proper step in his drop. He didn't have to hitch anywhere because the Bronco DBs were nowhere near their coverage. Those kind of games make it difficult to pass rush. We always talk about receiver as a dependent position. In some ways, pass rush can be a dependent position as well. Where are you in the game? Does your offense have the lead or are you behind? Is your opponent able to be successful on first and second down, therefore making third and shorts? All those things can change the complexion of a game and also your ability to get after the quarterback.
Now, Chad, since you played on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to be a little more specific than I normally would be when you're on. I was telling Cecil before you came and joined us that I feel as though the linebackers, once again, are too tight to the line of scrimmage. And, yeah, we watched Devontae Booker rush for two touchdowns, and we watched Josh Jacobs do the same thing. I'm thinking those guys are too tight that they can't really scrape and react. Are you seeing the same thing as well?
I have been seeing that as well. You need to get back a little bit further, particularly when you don't have the centerpiece of this run defense in Mike Purcell.
Right.
You know, he was a guy who didn't get moved very much. Now you've got different guys in there, and those guys get moved. So as an inside linebacker, as you're trying to scrape and get to your hole and fill your gap, if your defensive linemen are now being pushed back into you, you can't fill your gap properly. So you got to get a little further off the ball so you can then fill your lanes. And it's partly a linebacker thing, but it's also partly a defensive line thing. If those guys were able to maintain their ground there at the line of scrimmage and take on those double teams, then those linebackers could play a little tighter and be a little bit more downhill. At this point, they've got to learn to get back further in space because the Raiders showed you get movement up front, not only are we going to block your defensive linemen, but we're going to block your linebackers by simply getting those defensive linemen back into their way.
Chad Brown joining us here on that Fireball VIP line. Of course, 104.3 The Chad Fans. Chad Brown joins us, presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Now, some people would say, sick brag, bro. And others would say, like my teenage daughters would say, weird flex, but okay. When I say that every Monday and Tuesday, I watch every game twice in the NFL. I watch the condensed versions, obviously. And I chart plays, and I look for down and distance, look for tendencies, all those sorts of things. Chad, Drew Lock's the worst quarterback in the NFL. Of all the guys that are playing right now, those are my observations, and certainly this last week he was. What are your observations? Because I think Nick thought I was a little bit too harsh when I came out with that tonight. I don't think I am, but where do you come down on the play of Drew Lock?
Well, I think it took some time to get the local fan base just to get comfortable with saying Drew Lock is the worst quarterback in the AFC West.
Right.
So now you're taking it a complete step further here, Cecil. But to your point, as you start to go around the league, where is this quarterback who, has had such a poor last four games? And you start to look, and I don't know if you can find one. The interceptions, the off-platform throws, the lack of progression, the number of almost interceptions, the lack of first-half production, the padding of the stats only in garbage time when the other team has already given up and is conceding yards to you just because they want you to eat up the clock. Yeah, I think to your point, Cecil, as it stands today, yes, does he have a chance in the skill set to improve that as the season goes along. He does.
Yes.
But as it stands today, I don't think there's really a serious football person who could argue with you, particularly about the last 4 weeks.
You know what? You guys are absolutely right. We can't argue about what we've seen from Drew Lock, and hopefully he gets better. But the guy they're facing this week in Tua, he's definitely shown as though in a short period of time, he was well worth that first-round pick for the Miami Dolphins. Now, when you've watched him on tape, have you seen any flaws that could be exploited by the Broncos' defense?
I mean, he's a young quarterback, so I think you can show him some things that he hasn't seen before. But, you know, obviously Tua played in a high-level program at Alabama, and he had NFL-quality receivers on the outside. So his learning curve into the NFL has been so much shorter than for so many of these guys because he already had that kind of NFL speed at the wideout position, that NFL timing at the wideout position for 3 years in college. I think if I'm Vic Fangio, I'm going to try to throw a lot at this guy, but at no point can we assume that he's not going to do the basics well. And again, we talk about the basics, we're talking about some of these things that Drew Lock is deficient at. Footwork, progressions, reading the defense, understanding where to go with the football, resisting the temptation to try to go for it when the defense is giving you something underneath. I don't think Tua is going to be able to be baited in those kind of mistakes, nor does he have those type of mechanical flaws that can be exploited by a crafty defensive coordinator.
Chad Brown joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Here it's Nick and Cecil on the Fan. And Chad, it's time to talk about love. I love the fact that you played for my beloved Steelers, and I hate the fact that they didn't keep you forever and ever. But anyway, I want to talk about love, and I want to ask you about this, because we talked to Cam Wolf earlier in the show from ESPN in Miami. And I know some people on that Dolphins staff, and they love their head coach, right? They love him, and absolutely love what Brian Flores is all about. Players love him, and they respect him as well. With the Denver Broncos, and this is me speculating, I haven't been in the locker room at all this year because of COVID or whatever, I know the Broncos players respect Vic Fangio. How could you not? I don't know if they love him, but it leads me to the question, do you need to love your head coach? You've played for some of the luminaries. You played for the greatest head coach in NFL history. Like, do you need to love your head coach, or is respect enough to get it done?
No, I think to be a truly elite team and organization, there needs to be a tie between the players and the coach that can be described as love. Now, everybody in the locker room is not going to be happy. There's always going to be those four or five guys at the bottom of the roster who are the complainers and the grumblers and all that. So it's going to be impossible to win those guys over. But, yeah, I mean, after, you know, the whole Spygate thing happened in New England, you know, Teddy Bruschi, you know, broke down post-game celebrations with, you know, how do we feel about our coach, and tell him how much we love our coach. And the whole team responded, oh, yeah. I mean, Bill Belichick is not an easy guy to love, but we love them in that pure football sense. And the same thing for Bill Cowher. And how you achieve that love is you get it by winning, by being a coach, and by how you treat people. And, you know, not to say Vic Fangio has undermined his ability to be loved, but when you call out a guy like Von Miller, but we see other people don't get called out who haven't done what Von Miller's done, you know, is that really fair? And is that really how you want to set up the culture on your team? The one superstar you have in the organization, you call him out publicly, but, you know, the running back gets a DUI and other people do other things, and we just kind of shrug our shoulders and move on. So there's also a personality component, and there's also a bit of a culture component as well. And I ask you guys this question. Normally you guys ask me the question, what is the culture of the Denver Broncos? I thought about it all day because I was on the show with Zach, and I could not think of what their culture is from a positive aspect. Can you answer that question? What is the current Denver Broncos culture that Vic Fangio has built? I don't know.
Wow, that's crazy I'm stumped right now. As you were going through that, I was like, ooh, what can they hang their hat on at the end of the day? And it's absolutely nothing. And that's your job as a head coach, to come in and establish a certain type of culture. So, Cecil, I'll toss it to you. What do you think the identity of this team is.
Dysfunction. I mean,
right, that's a negative. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a negative. So it's like, okay, when, you know, you're calling out Vaughn, you don't call out other guys, taking Vaughn's speaker last year and having Ray Jackson having to tell you to put it back, like, come on, man. Like, don't mess with a man's locker room, in a man's locker, like his personal property. Like, okay, yeah, I don't know, dude. It's not a great look. It's not a great feel around this team, that's for sure.
Well, Chad, I want to ask you.
So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No. I was going to say, you know, and so I think to a certain extent that speaks to it. It's hard to, you know, love your coach if he's been unable to establish a culture that everyone on the team, to Nick's point, can hang their hat on, that they know this is a part of what we do. This is their backbone of the organization. You know, a coach needs to build all those kind of things to be loved.
It makes it really difficult to be a player on the Denver Broncos and wanting to go out and fight for this team week in and week out, not understanding, well, what are we doing? What is our culture to know that, okay, you should make a move at the quarterback position to at least give us a chance in some of these games, and you're not doing that. So if I'm on the defensive side of the ball, I'm discouraged. I am definitely upset that a change hasn't been made. And I'll ask you, Chad, we already know about, you know, Drew Lock and his ribs, and he may or may not play in this game. There are three other options on the Broncos roster from a quarterback standpoint: Brett Rippon, Jeff Driskel, and Blake Bortles. Which one of those guys would give the Broncos the best chance to win against the Dolphins on Sunday?
Wow. Man. I would have liked to have seen Drew Lock pulled out of this last game against the Raiders. That's what I would have liked to have seen. Sometimes, you know, you gain a fresh perspective, and I'm sure you can speak to this, Nick, when you are, you know, not on the field and you're on the sideline standing next to the defensive coordinator, or at practice when you're standing behind the defense, and in Drew Lock's case, standing behind the offense, watching someone else do it. It gains you a fresh perspective. So I think this weekend would have been an opportune time, you know, maybe after the third interception, come over here, watch some things, get some perspective, get yourself under control, and we can really focus on next week for you. As far as those three guys, I don't know if I've got an answer for you. I mean, I know Jeff Driskel can run the football, so I know there's been some conversation about going with a little bit more of a running attack to try to present defenses with a different look, particularly some of those quarterback zone runs or maybe even some planned quarterback runs. But that's a novelty, you know, and I think even if you're trying to persuade your defense to buy into the chances of winning a game because we're going with something different, even the defense would know that's a one-game trick, and maybe not even a one game, maybe just a one-half trick that you can shock somebody for a little bit, but obviously Brian Flores, being a good coach, will go into halftime and get things rearranged, get his defense lined up properly. So I've always said that this season ultimately is about the development of Drew Lock and seeing if he's going to be the quarterback of the future. I think we get a chance this week if he's able to play, to see if he's able to bounce back from probably now his worst career performance. And if you look back over all his games he started this year, fellas, outside of that Chargers game, can you think of a great Drew Lock moment that we've had this season? And it's not all on Drew Lock. And I'm not saying that Drew Lock can never be the guy.
Right.
Certainly offensive line issues are a factor. You're on your fifth right tackle. You know, injuries at the receiver spot. A lot of youth at the receiver position. Obviously the coordinator who's not on the same page as his quarterback. But at some point along the way, you would think there would be some standout moments. And even some of these wins that they've had this season, particularly the win against the Patriots, at this point they feel much more like flukes than legitimate wins. So I know that's a roundabout way of trying to avoid your question there, Nick, but I don't think any of these guys, given the other issues going on this offense and on this football team, are suddenly going to take command and be able to go out there and score 24, 27 points a game.
Nothing but the truth from Chad Brown, 104.3 The Fan's Chad Brown, joining us, presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Chad, be good, brother. Appreciate your time, man.
All right, you guys take it easy. Have a good night.
Man, off the top rope. What is the culture? What is the identity of this Broncos team? We're going to rack our brains, see if we can come up with something positive next.